The readings today sound kind of harsh, that God disciplines those he loves, and he will cast into the darkness those that he does not know. Kind of scary. He's talking to us today in our church, just as he was talking to the Jewish people back in his day. In the first reading, God was promising to bring all people back to Jerusalem, the place where God resided. Bring all people home, even the Gentiles. He'd gather the nations to Jerusalem. Gentiles from every nation will be called, from the east to the west and the north and the south. We are those Gentiles in our time. We have been called to the holy city, Jerusalem. And for you and for me, that holy city really is heaven, reflected in our gathering here at this church. This church is a place where we worship God, where we find hope and where we find love and healing. But Jesus says, some of you will knock on the door and the owner will say, I do not know you. Here we are gathered together in this church this morning for worship, and God is saying, I do not know where you are from. What does he mean? Well, you got to remember, he was speaking really to the leaders of the Jewish people. They were promoting themselves. They were proud. They were in charge. They were in control, they thought. And so they weren't sensitive to the needs of the people. They simply liked to be in a position of authority and privilege. And Jesus was telling them, yeah, you can come and knock at the door, but I don't know you. I don't know who you are. You haven't cared for my people. You haven't loved my people. You demand all kinds of rules and regulations, but you do not care for my people. So I don't know you. I care, Jesus is saying, I know you. When I know you because you are there for my people and I am in your people. And therefore, when you serve one another, you serve me. Remember the saying at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And they said, well, when did we do this, Lord? And he says, when you did it for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And so those who serve God's people are the ones he recognizes and invites in, so to speak. So I think what we can apply this to our day and say, well, eating and being with the Lord and seeing him around the way was not enough. They were not welcomed because they didn't know, he didn't know them. For you and for me, eating at this meal, at this altar, and hearing the word of God in the Gospels apparently is not enough either. It's the beginning of our Christian commitment. It's not the end. It's the great meal that we share in order to live our lives as caring for other people in our lives. It's the energy and the life that we receive at this Mass. But it doesn't end here. It goes on beyond this church. For centuries, the church has listed a number of ways in which that caring takes place. It's called the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Some of you may remember that from your teaching in the catechism, corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead. Those are the corporal works of mercy. In the spiritual ones, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, forgive offenses, comfort the afflicted, bear wrongs patiently. Now there's one, probably one of the hardest ones. Bear wrongs patiently. When we are wronged, criticized, unfairly criticized, or somebody judges us, how do we bear that? Do we strike back? He's saying, bear that patiently. Don't strike back. Pray for the living and the dead. We do that every day at Mass. But we also, probably many of us, have a list of people we pray for at home. People that we've loved that have died or that are sick. So we're being invited to pray for those who are living and the dead, because we are one with them. We are here in this earth, but they are beyond us. They are beyond us. They've lived their lives, but they need our prayers nonetheless. And certainly we pray for those living who are struggling and whom we know and who we want to pray for. So those are the ways in which our commitment to Christ is lived out in daily life. It begins here at church every Sunday. It begins here with this meal that gives us strength. Just like if you're taking a journey, you have to eat to have the strength to move, to go forward. If you're camping, you need food to have the energy to put the tent up, to take the tent down, to walk on the paths, to see beautiful things. It takes energy and time. People who go down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and walk back up, I couldn't imagine doing that. I'd be crawling on my hands and knees. Things like that. We receive the food of this liturgy to give us the energy to carry out those things that we just listed. And so you and I then have a call, not only to receive the Lord and to be joyful that we have been chosen in the first place, that we know our God and our Jesus Christ, and then to be able to live that out and care for one another. That's what this is, that's what Christianity is all about. That's what our society needs, our society moving into kind of a lack of God and a denial of anything that we can't see, denial of faith and morality. We need to witness to the church and to the truths of our church, to the world, to our society and the people around us in our lives, at work, at home, at school, wherever. So God is giving us that grace today, and he's inviting us to care for his people so that when we do knock, he will say, I know you'll come and celebrate life forever.